శ్రీ సాయి సచ్చరిత్ర ద వండర్ఫుల్ లైఫ్ అండ్ టీచింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ శ్రీ సాయిబాబా చాప్టర్ 20 దాస్ గణూస్ ప్రాబ్లమ్ సాల్వ్డ్ బై కాకాస్ మేడ్ సర్వెంట్ ఇన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ హేమత్ పంత్ డిస్క్రైబ్స్ హౌ దాస్ గణూస్ ప్రాబ్లమ్ వాజ్ సాల్వ్డ్ బై కాకా సాహెబ్ దీక్షిత్స్ మేడ్ సర్వెంట్ ఓం శ్రీ సాయి ప్రిలిమినరీ గాడ్ వాజ్ ఒరిజినలీ ఫార్మ్లెస్ He assumed a form for the sake of bhaktas. With the help of Maya, he played the part of an actor in the big drama of the universe. Let us remember and visualize Sri Sai. Let us go to Shirdi and see carefully the program after the noon aarti. After the aarti ceremony was over, Sai used to come out of the masjid and stand on its edge. Distribute udi to the devotees with very kind, gracious and loving looks. The bhaktas also got up with equal fervor, clasped his feet and had the bliss of udi. Baba passed handfuls of udi into the palms of the devotees and marked their foreheads with udi with his own hands. The love he bore for them in his heart was boundless. Then he addressed the bhaktas, O Bahu, Go home to take your lunch. You, Anna, go to your lodgings. You, Bapu, enjoy your meals. In this way, he accosted each and every devotee and sent them home. Even now, you can have the pleasure of these sights if you bring into play your imagination. Now, bring Sai in our mental vision. Let us meditate on him from his feet upwards to his face. Prostrating before him humbly, lovingly and reverentially. Om Sri Sai. Isha Upanishad. Dasganu once started to write a Marathi commentary on the Isha Upanishad. Let us first give a brief idea of this Upanishad. Before proceeding further, it is called Mantropanishad, as it is embodied in the mantras of the Vedic Sanhita. It constitutes the last or the 40th chapter of the Vajasaniya Sanhita, that is Yajurveda, and it is therefore called Yajasaniya Sanhipodesha, being embodied in Vedic Sanhitas. This is regarded as superior to all other Upanishads, which are in Brahmankyas and Aranyakas, that is explanatory treatise on mantras and rituals. Not only this, other Upanishads are considered to be commentaries on the truth, mentioned briefly in the Isha Upanishad. For instance, the biggest of the Upanishads, that is the Brihat Jataka Upanishad, is considered by Pandit Satvelkar to be running commentary on the Isha Upanishad. Professor R.D. Ranade says, the Isha Upanishad is quite a small Upanishad, and yet it contains many hints which show an extraordinary piercing insight. Within the short compass of 18 verses, it gives a valuable mystic description of the Atma, a description of the ideal sage who stands unruffled in the midst of temptations and sorrows, and adumbration of the doctrine or Karma Yoga, as later formulated. The most valuable idea that lies at the roof of the Upanishad is that of a logical synthesis between the two opposites of knowledge and works, which are both required according to the Upanishad to be annulled in a higher synthesis. Page 24 of the Constructive Survey of the Upanishadic Philosophy. In another place, he says that the poetry of the Ishopanishad is a co-mixture of moral, mystical and metaphysical knowledge, which can be found in Ibid, page 41. From the brief description given above about this Upanishad, one can see how difficult it is to translate this Upanishad into a vernacular language and bring out its exact meaning. Das Ganu translated it in Marathi, Ovi meter, verse by verse, but as he did not comprehend the gist or essence of the Upanishad, he was not satisfied with his performance. On being dissatisfied, he consulted some learned men regarding his doubts and difficulties, and discussed it with them at great length. They did not solve them, nor did they give him any rational and satisfactory explanation. So Dasganu was a little restless over this matter. Om Shri Sai. Sadguru only competent and qualified to explain. As we have seen, this Upanishad is the quintessence of the Vedas. It is the science of self-realization. It is the skit or weapon which are rendered asunder the bondage of life and death and make us free. Therefore, he thought that he who has himself attained self-realization can only give him the true or correct interpretation of the Upanishad. When nobody could satisfy Dasganu, he resolved to consult Sai Baba about this. When he got an opportunity to go to Shirdi, he saw Sai Baba, prostrated himself before him and mentioned his difficulties about the Isha Upanishad and requested him to give the correct solution. Sai Baba blessed him and said, "You need not be anxious. There is no difficulty about the matter. The maid servant of Kaka, that is Kaka Sahib Dikshit, will solve your doubts at Vile Parle on your way to home." The people who were present there and heard this thought that Baba was joking and said, "How could an illiterate maid servant solve the difficulties of this mystic nature?" But Dasganu thought otherwise. He was sure that whatever Baba spoke must come true, as Baba's words was decree of the Brahma Almighty. Om Shri Sai. Kaka's maid servant, fully believing Baba's words, he left Shirdi and came to Vile Parle, a suburb of Mumbai, and stayed with Kaka Sahib Dikshit. There, the next day, when Dasganu was enjoying his morning nap, some say when he was engaged in worship, he heard a poor girl singing a beautiful song in clear and melodious tone. The theme of the song was a crimson-colored sari. How nice it was! How fine was it embroidered! How beautiful were its borders, etc. He liked the song so much that he came out and saw that it was being sung by Angal, the sister of Namya, who was a servant of Kaka Sahib. The girl was cleaning vessels and had only a torn rag on her person. On seeing her impoverished condition and her happy temperament, Dasganu felt pity for her. And when Rao Bahadur, M.V. Pradhan, gave him a pair of dhotras the next day, he requested him to give a sari to the poor little girl also. Rao Bahadur bought a good chiradi, that is, small sari, and presented it to her. Like a starved person getting delicious dishes to eat, her joy knew no bounds. Next day she wore the new sari and, out of great joy and merriment, whirled and danced around and played fugadi with other girls. The day following, she kept the new sari in her box at home and came with the old and torn rags, but she looked as merry as she was the previous day. On seeing this, Dasganu's pity transformed into admiration. He thought that the girl, being poor, had to wear a torn rag, but now she had a new sari, which she kept in reserve, and putting on the old rag, strutted herself, showing no trace of sorrow or dejection. Thus, he realized that all our feelings of pain and pleasure depend upon the attitude of our mind. On thinking deeply over this incident, he realized that a man ought to enjoy whatever God has bestowed on him in the firm conviction that he besets everything from behind and before and on all sides, and that whatever is bestowed on him by God must be for his good. In this particular case, the impoverished condition of the poor girl, her torn rag and the new sari, the donor, the doni, and the deal were all parts of the Lord and pervaded by him. Here, Dasganu got a practical demonstration of the lesson of the Upanishad. The lesson of contentment with one's own lot, with the belief that whatever happens is ordained by God and is ultimately good for us. Om Shri Sai. Unique method of teaching. From the above incident, the reader will see that Baba's method was unique and varied. Though Baba never left Shirdi, he sent some to Machingrad, some to Kolhapur or Sholapur for practicing sadhanas. To some, he appeared in his usual form. To some, he appeared in waking or dream states, day or night, and satisfied their desires. It is impossible to describe all the methods that Baba used in imparting instructions to his bhaktas. In this particular case, he sent Dasganu to Vileparle, where he got his problem solved through the maid servant. To those who say that it was not necessary to send away Dasganu and that Baba could have personally taught him, we say that Baba followed the right or the best course. Or how else could Dasganu learn a great lesson? Now, we close this chapter with another beautiful extract about this Upanishad. Om Shri Sai. The ethics of the Isha. One of the main features of the Isha Upanishad is the ethical advice it offers, and it is interesting to note that the ethics of the Upanishads are definitely based upon the metaphysical positions given in it. The very opening words of the Upanishad tell us that God pervades everything. As a corollary from this metaphysical position, the ethical advice it offers is that a man ought to enjoy whatever God bestows on him in the firm belief that as he pervades everything, whatever is bestowed on him by God must be good. It follows naturally that the Upanishad should forbid us from coveting another man's property. In fact, we are fittingly taught here a lesson of contentment with one's own lot in the belief that whatever happens is divinely ordained and hence it is good for us. Another moral advice is that a man who spends his lifetime always in doing action, specifically the karmas enjoined in the shastras, with resignation to his will. Inactivity according to this Upanishad would be the canker of the soul. It is only when a man spends his lifetime in doing actions in this manner, then he can hope to attain the idea of Naishkarmya. Finally, the text goes on to say that a man who sees all beings in the self and sees the self as existing in all beings, in fact, from whom all beings and everything that exists have become the self, how can such a man suffer from infatuation? What ground would such a man have for grief? Loathfulness, infatuation, and grief verily proceed from our not being able to see the Atma in all things. But a man who realizes the oneness of all things, from whom everything has become the self, must, ipso facto, cease to be affected by the common roibles of humanity. Page 169-170 of The Creative Period by Messrs. Belwalkar and Ranade. Bow to Sri Sai. Peace be to all.